Once again, good morning. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Good to see all of our visitors here, members, and see part of the Dwyer clan is here today. So good to have you all here today. Hear me? Yes, we know that God is a gracious God. We have a God that forgives us of our sins and that He sent His Son here to be our example, to be our substitute. And as already mentioned about prayer, Derek with tithes and offerings talking about prayer, Jeff talking about prayer, and thank you for that music, Jeff. And yes, one day soon, there will be no more storm. We won't have to wait for it to pass by because there will be no more storm. We know that Jesus is our only access to the Father, and He is our pathway to the eternal life that has been promised to each and every one of them that has a faith and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are able, through prayer, to communicate our thanksgiving, our desires, our love to the Heavenly Father through prayer. And we need Jesus as our example. So let's just have a word of prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we know that prayer must be in faith. And we know about Your will. That faith is intelligent, is obedient, is expected, is persistent. We ask for Your will in our lives, and we allow that to happen through the Lord Jesus Christ. In His precious name, amen. Yes. I believe it was week before last, I talked about Christ's habit of prayer. And you see there that there were 15 mentions of it by the gospel writers. And we went through 7 of them last time. We'll go through the rest of them today if we have time. We know that the man that God sent down made it a regular habit of prayer. And we know that we should do the same thing. To pray to our Heavenly Father at every opportunity that we have. And as I said, a habit is an act repeated so often as to be done involuntarily without a new decision of the mind each time it is done. And this is a good habit that we talk about. A lot of times we talk about habits, but it seems to be a bad habit that we are trying to get rid of. But this is a good habit to have prayer at all times. And we know that Jesus prayed so often that it became a part of His life. And the best way for us to know how to pray is by watching as Jesus prayed and then try to imitate Him. And we pray that we know that we can do that through the Holy Spirit. And let's just look at the first seven mentions that I looked about. The first one was Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And that was Jesus' double baptism. After His baptism, the Holy Spirit came down. Second was Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And it was about going out into a solitary place, a desert, to pray. And then Luke chapter 5, verse 16, where He went in the wilderness to pray. And this was after curing a person of leprosy. Then Luke chapter 6, verse 12, He went into the mountain. And this was a day before choosing the 12 to be His disciples. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, after feeding the 5,000, He went into prayer, and also that was a time that He learned from His disciples about the death of John the Baptist. And then Luke chapter 9, verse 18, Peter's confession of Christ. And then number 7 was Luke chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, His transfiguration, where He took Peter, John, and James that were able to witness that. So let's look at the 8 remaining so that we can see the mirror of the glory on Christ's face, and we should be able to have that same glory on our face today too. So that 8th mention is in the 10th chapter of Luke. If you would turn there, the 10th chapter of Luke. And we see there in verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by and two before his face and into every city and place whither he himself would come. He organized a group of men there to send them out there two by two to the places where he expected to visit. And then in verse 17, we can see where they returned with a joyful report of the power working with their attempts to reach the people with the gospel message. And then in verse 21 and 22, we see Jesus standing there in their midst with his own heart overflowing with joy. And he looked up, and as though the Father's face was visible to him, and spoke to him about the glorious and the gladness that he had of him. We see that in 21 and 22. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He was always conscious of his Father's presence, always connected to his Father. And we should be the same way, to realize that God's presence is especially here today. We are in God's presence. And it's a natural thing for Jesus to speak to him. It's a natural thing for us to speak to our Heavenly Father. And as I said, Jesus was so closely connected to his Father that we should also be closely connected to him, and that's through prayer, being able to speak to him with joy. Even when we have trials and temptations in our life, all the disasters that are going, still have joy in speaking to God the Father. And then we can look at the next mention is in the 11th chapter of Luke. There's a chapter over there, chapter Luke, the very first verse. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. The disciples were already praying men. Jesus had already talked to them many times about prayer. But they were able to see the large part that prayer had in Jesus' life. They were able to witness the marvelous results of that. They were aware of some power that was there, some secret in prayer that they didn't know of, and they needed to know that. So they realized that they didn't know how to pray. And Jesus was delighted that they came to ask him for that. And seeing and witnessing Jesus' habits of prayer, it moved the disciples, and it should move us today also, to pray at every opportunity that we have, to get along with him, to make the same earnest request that Christ did, and to start learning how to pray, and it is to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. And we know that no one can teach us how to pray like Jesus does. And the next mention is John chapter 11. John 11. I don't know if you had last time, if any of you went home and looked up the first mentions there, but I wish you would do that and then look these up whenever you have a chance this next week. In verses 41 and 42, John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. We see a large company gathered there outside the village of Bethany. They were around a tomb that 4 days before the body of Lazarus was laid to rest. Mary was still weeping. Martha was trying to be composed. Their personal friends were there. The village people were there. Company of acquaintances and even people from Jerusalem were there. See that? And as Jesus told them to roll away the stone, as we saw there in verse 41 and 42, he said to lifted up his eyes and told him, thanked his Father for that. We know that Jesus had already planned to raise Lazarus. It wasn't nothing new. And he knew that his prayer would be answered. And as we see the marvelous power displayed in Jesus' brief earthly career, for we know it was only short 33 years, we should know that it came through prayer, just as our power can come through prayer and prayer alone. We don't have any power of ourselves without calling upon the Lord, our Savior, for that power. And He will give it to us. And by having faith in the one that hears our prayers, we know that we can be successful, just as Christ was successful. In such faith that was displayed there, there lay the dead body of Lazarus. And with a surety, Jesus knew that his Father would raise him. This is the times that we know that Jesus, only once or twice did he use his own power, and this was one that he did not. The Father raised Lazarus. We know that only upward is faith, not blind, as we look forward and look up. If we listen to God, we see that faith listens. It sees his power and acts accordingly. Faith is believing that he will. And it only comes through continuous faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray that each one of us has that faith, no matter what happens in our life, to continually to thank Jesus and trust him. Trust our Heavenly Father, no matter what happens in any one of our lives. My wife and I know that. The 11th mention is found in chapter 12 of John. John chapter 12. In verse 20, we see that two or three days before the fatal Friday, some Greek visitors to the Jewish festival of Passover sought an interview with Jesus. And with that request, Jesus was able to see the outside world, and his heart yearned for the people coming to him, so hungry for only what he could give. And we know that Jesus Christ is only the one that can take care of our hunger. But then he sees another vision. And that vision crops into his thoughts. The cross, and so near. And then in verse 27, he speaks. In the first part of verse 28, 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour, Father, glorify thy name. And he just sees it, and just as quickly as that prayer is uttered, an answer comes from heaven. In verse 28, the first part, there, the second part there. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Heaven is so near that the Father instantly hears our prayers. They are instant. Our prayers are instantly taken to the Father by the Holy Spirit. And he's listening intently for even the lowest whisper of prayer. We can be confident God is listening to each and every one as we pray. To have a trained ear and a thought tongue is one of the things that we need, to train our ear so that our thoughts that come from our mouth are pure. And then we can go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. 22, 31 and 32. It's a Thursday night of Passion Week. They're in the large upper room where Christ is celebrating the old Passover feast and starting the new memorial feast, like the one that we had last Sabbath. But the time is even disturbed by the disciples' self-seeking disputes that they're having. Jesus shows his great patience of his great love that he has for them. And that gives the beautiful example of humility that you can read in John 13. And then turning to Peter and using his own name, you can see there what he says. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." We can see one of Christ's prayer habits right there, praying for others. We know that he has not ended that habit. He's even praying for us today now. He's able to save to the uttermost all those that want to draw near to God. Surely he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And he's making intercession for us as he is seated at the Father's right hand right now. And he's praying for each of us who trust him, even using our names. Just as he knows every hair on our head, which some of us don't have too many, too much of it. But he knows our very name. In the 13th one, we can go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John 17. John 17. And this is his intercessory prayer to his Father. And as you can look at that, you can see what he's talking about. Back in the 12th chapter of John, this is his last words to the world. And from chapter 12 through to the end of chapter 17, he's alone with his disciples. And here today, we're able to see that the praying for us that he was engaged in at that time, and it's called the intercessory or priestly prayer. And it's broken down in my Bible here in sections there. Jesus prays for himself first. Then he prays for his disciples. He prays for the people, his people in the world, and their future glory. Not thinking of himself. For 30 years he lived a perfect life. For 3.5 years, a prophet speaking to men for God. And for all these centuries that he's been our high priest, he's speaking to God for men. But when he returns as King of Kings, to reign over men for God, he's doing these things for God, for us, so that we can be his children, that we can be with him through eternity. And I just pray that each one of us will be there, that we'll be able to meet on the sea of glass very soon to be with our Savior forever and ever. And then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, one of his favorite prayer spots. It's recorded in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 21. It's a little later on the same Thursday night. Much has already happened, and there's more to happen. When they leave the upper room, he takes them out of the city gate, crosses the muddy Kidron into the enclosed grove of olive trees that are a short ways away from the city. And we know that within a short time, the Roman soldiers and the Jewish mob are coming. Even the traitor is coming, looking for him. He wanted to spend that short time in prayer. And he takes Peter, John, and James with him. And he goes farther into the grove. And then himself even goes farther into the moonlight recesses of the grove. And we see an awful struggle ensuing with him. We know that he knew no sin. And to experience what he was going to experience in the next few hours, to be actually made sin for us, it had to be heart-wrenching even for Jesus. Could he endure the mental anguish that was to come? We know that his physical strength left him because of what the utter demand of the day was going to bring to him. But we know that he did not die of suffering from his physical strength, but literally from a broken heart where its walls collapsed on him. Do we really appreciate what Jesus went through? Becoming the substitute for the sin of the world, taking our sins upon himself, willingly, without complaint. And we can see the figure there among the trees, with him kneeling down, falling upon his face, even laying prostrate against the floor. And I've mentioned that before, if you've ever done that. If you ever laid prostrate on the floor, praying to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed that if it was possible, that the hour might pass away from him. And we can hear that prayer as we read these words. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. If it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He gave it over to his Father to allow his will to be done in his life, as well as we need to give our will to God so that his will can be done in our lives each and every day. We see all that tension there. And it was so great that even a messenger was sent from heaven to strengthen him. But then he goes back to the sleeping disciples to admonish them to pray, even though that in a little time they're going to have a great temptation of themselves. Then he goes back to that lonely, solitary place for more prayer, for more communion with God. And then his prayer changes. It becomes triumphant. O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away, except I drink it, thy will be done. There the victory is complete. Everything that he has done is coming to an end. He goes back to the disciples, and they're still sleeping again. And then he goes back to the solitary place again for more communion with the Father. But then the glare of the torches approaches him, showing that the hour has come. His hour is almost ready to come. We see a marvel of peace lighting up his face as he faces his enemies. He goes willingly to them. He overcame the greatest crisis of his life by prayer, as just as well we can. No matter what our crisis in our lives, we can overcome it by prayer. And as we look at the last mention, we can see that in one of the seven sentences he spoke upon this cross, three of them were prayers. While the soldiers were driving the nails in his hands and his feet and lifting him up into the place, into the hole, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The time of the evening sacrifices was drawing on, and then the silence of 3 hours was to come. He gave up a piercing sound. My God, why didst thou forsake me? And then a short time later, the triumphant shout of his work being done. And then with his last words, as he yielded up his life, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. 15 mentions of Jesus' habit of prayer. And we know that there were many more. But the four gospel writers put it into words for us today. And just let's look at them. His time of prayer, his regular habit devoted to the early morning hour to commune with his Father, and he was dependent on him for constant guidance and instruction. He sought the opportunities for prayer in secret places. Late at night, after the others had retired, three times he remained in prayer all night. Have you ever done that? I don't think I had never had to pray all night. A quiet time when the noises of the earth were stilled. He spent time in prayer before important events and then afterwards. Second, his places of prayer. He had no fixed inner chamber to go to. His place of prayer was a desert place or a mountain, a solitary place. It was always a quiet place away from the sounds of the earth. And then his constant spirit of prayer. He was always in a spirit of prayer. He could be alone in a crowd and be able to feel his Father's presence. The solitude of time, early morning or late at night. The solitude of place, a hilltop, a forest, a secluded room. In the solitude of spirit, he used all these three spirits for talking with his Father. He prayed in the great crises of his life. Before the awful battle with Satan in the wilderness. Before choosing the 12 leaders of the new movement. At the time of the Galilean uprising. Before his final departure to Judah and Jerusalem. And then in Gethsemane, his greatest crisis of all. He prayed for others by name, and he still does. He prayed with others, something that should be copied also. And we know that we don't do that enough, to pray with one another. The greatest blessings of his life came through prayer. While praying, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was transfigured. Three times a heavenly voice of approval came. In his hour of distress in the garden, a messenger came to strengthen him. When he was perplexed, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he prayed. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. Do we pray at all these times like Jesus did? Should we not go trace his steps about his prayer life? Go back to them time and time again until we breathe in the spirit of prayer. Should we not ask him daily to teach us how to pray? Plan to get along with him regularly. We know that in this fast-paced world, it's hard to do to find time. But we need to take the time to be able to do that so that we have the opportunity that he can teach us. And that we ever have every opportunity to practice that teaching. He wants us to be his representatives here upon this earth. God has chosen man to be that representative. And we are told to do that in God's will. So I just pray that prayer is an important part of each one of our lives. For we all know what it can do. Maybe it doesn't come in the way that we plan. But God answers all prayer. And I just pray that his will be done in each one of our prayers. Our Heavenly Father, yes, Jesus, our rock that we may build on. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of prayer, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace will be with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.